This morning is taken from Romans chapter 8, verses 18 to 27. Romans 8, 18 to 27. I consider that our present sufferings are not worth comparing with the glory that will be revealed in us. The creation waits in eager expectation for the sons of God to be revealed. For the creation was subjected to frustration, not by its own choice, but by the will of the one who subjected it, in hope that the creation itself will be liberated from its bondage to decay and brought into the glorious freedom of the children of God. We know that the whole creation has been groaning, as in the pains of childbirth, right up to the present time. Not only so, but we ourselves, who have the first fruits of the Spirit, groan inwardly as we wait eagerly for our adoption as sons, the redemption of our bodies. For in this hope we were saved. But hope that is seen is no hope at all. Who hopes for what he already has? But if we hope for what we do not yet have, we wait for it patiently. In the same way, the Spirit helps us in our weakness. We do not know what we ought to pray for, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us with groans that words cannot express. And he who searches our hearts knows the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for the saints in accordance with God's will. The congregation, please rise and hear the good news. Brothers and sisters, God promises that all those who are united to Jesus Christ through baptism, holding fast to him by faith, the victory of the Son, the forgiveness of the Father, and the glory and empowerment of the Holy Spirit. You were purchased with the precious blood of Jesus to be built up after his image as the treasured possession of Almighty God. Believe this and rejoice. Amen. Let us sing joyfully in the salvation we have only in Jesus Christ our Lord. The Word of God convicts us of our sin and shows us our need for repentance. But his Word also teaches us how we are to live in holiness, honoring our Lord with our deeds. And God's will for life this morning is from Proverbs chapter 27, verses 1 through 13. Proverbs 27, 1 through 13. These are the words of God. Do not boast about tomorrow, for you do not know what a day may bring forth. Let another praise you and not your own mouth, someone else and not your own lips. Stone is heavy and sand a burden, but provocation by a fool is heavier than both. Anger is cruel and fury overwhelming, but who can stand before jealousy? Better is open rebuke than hidden love. Wounds from a friend can be trusted, but an enemy multiplies kisses. He who is full loathes honey, but to the hungry, even what is bitter tastes sweet. Like a bird that strays from its nest is a man who strays from his home. Perfume and incense bring joy to the heart, and the pleasantness of one's friend springs from his earnest counsel. Do not forsake your friend and the friend of your father, and do not go to your brother's house when disaster strikes you. Better a neighbor nearby than a brother far away. Be wise, my son, and bring joy to my heart. Then I can answer anyone who treats me with contempt. The prudent seek danger and take refuge, but the simple keep going and suffer for it. Take the garment of one who puts up security for a stranger. Hold it in pledge if he does it for a wayward woman. This is the word of our Lord. Thanks be to God. Please pray with me. O Yahweh God, you are our portion. We promise to keep your words. We seek your favor with all our hearts. Be gracious to us according to your word. We have considered our ways and have turned our feet to your testimonies. We hasten and do not delay to keep your commandments. The cords of the wicked have encircled us, but we have not forgotten your law. At midnight we shall rise to give thanks to you because of your righteous ordinances. We are companions of all those who fear you and those who keep your precepts. The earth is full of your loving kindness, O Yahweh. Teach us your statutes. We praise you, O Lord, for your forgiveness that we have only in your Son, Jesus Christ. And we rejoice now that we can hear from your holy word. Speak to us now by your Spirit. Give us hearing, give us understanding. Strengthen our faith in you and your promises. And now may the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be pleasing in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our Redeemer. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. As we prepare to hear God's word promised to us, let us stand together and sing, Trusting in Him Alone. Sermon text this morning is in Acts chapter 21, verses 10 through 33. Acts 21, 10 through 33, brothers and sisters, the word of the true and the living God is being read in your hearing. Hear it with faith and do not harden your hearts. Acts 21, verse 10. After we had been there a number of days, a prophet named Agabus came down from Judea. Coming over to us, he took Paul's belt, tied his own hands and feet with it, and said, The Holy Spirit says, In this way the Jews of Jerusalem will bind the owner of this belt and will hand him over to the Gentiles. When we heard this, we and the people there pleaded with Paul not to go up to Jerusalem. Then Paul answered, Why are you weeping and breaking my heart? I am ready not only to be bound, but also to die in Jerusalem for the name of the Lord Jesus. When he would not be dissuaded, we gave up and said, The Lord's will be done. After this, we got ready and went up to Jerusalem. Some of the disciples from Caesarea accompanied us and brought us to the home of Mnason, where we were to stay. He was a man from Cyprus and one of the early disciples. We arrived at Jerusalem. The brothers received us warmly. The next day, Paul and the rest of us went to see James, and all the elders were present. Paul greeted them and reported in detail what God had done among the Gentiles through his ministry. When they heard this, they praised God. Then they said to Paul, You see, brother, how many thousands of Jews have believed, and all of them are zealous for the law. They have been informed that you teach all the Jews who live among the Gentiles to turn away from Moses, telling them not to circumcise their children or live according to our customs. What shall we do? They will certainly hear that you have come. So do what we tell you. There are four men with us who have made a vow. Take these men, join in their purification rites, and pay their expenses, so that they can have their heads shaved. Then everybody will know that there is no truth in these reports about you, but that you yourself are living in obedience to the law. As for the Gentile believers, we have written to them our decision that they should abstain from food sacrificed to idols, from blood, from the meat of strangled animals, and from sexual immorality. The next day, Paul took the men and purified himself along with them. Then he went to the temple to give notice of the dates when the days of purification would end and the offering would be made for each of them. When the 7 days were nearly over, some Jews from the province of Asia saw Paul at the temple. They stirred up the whole crowd and seized him, shouting, Men of Israel, help us! This is the man who teaches all men everywhere against our people and our law and this place. And besides, he has brought Greeks into the temple area and defiled this holy place. They had previously seen Trophimus, the Ephesian, in the city with Paul and assumed that Paul had brought him into the temple area. The whole city was aroused and the people came running from all directions. Seizing Paul, they dragged him from the temple and immediately the gates were shut. May the Lord bless unto us this day the reading of his holy and infallible word. In Acts chapter 21, our sermon text this morning, brothers and sisters, we are reminded again of the selfless service of the Apostle Paul, the selfless service he gave to the Lord in his ministry. We see again Paul was willing to go into dangerous places to preach the gospel. And at this point, it should not surprise us, the Apostle who wrote, quote, I wish I were accursed, for the sake of his Jewish brethren, that he would be so sacrificial. He wrote, I wish I were accursed so my Jewish brothers would be saved. So Paul was sacrificial. Paul faithfully submitted to the Lord's service, even when that led to his being stoned, left for dead. Even when that led to riots and the whole town being against him. Even when Jews followed him in his travels to stir up the crowds against his ministry. In the famous Sermon on the Mount, the Lord Jesus exhorted his hearers, "Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness." Seek first, primarily, of utmost importance, and all our needs will be added unto it. Our Lord Jesus Christ taught that our primary concern in life is God's kingdom and pursuing his righteousness. We reflect on this concern every time we pray the Lord's Prayer. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. So in word and in deed, Paul sought first the kingdom. That was his primary focus. He sought the kingdom even at his own expense, even at the threat of his own life. A man raised in Torah, discipled as a Pharisee, achieving success and notoriety in this life, Paul considered all as nothing for the sake of knowing Jesus Christ as Lord. Love the Lord first. Seek first his kingdom. So, brothers and sisters, let us have this mindset ourselves. Success, achievement in this life are good things. Hobbies, other enjoyable times, they're good for us. But they all pale in comparison to the kingdom of God. They are all subservient to our service of Jesus as King. It's a matter of priorities. Who is most important in your life? Who is the most important person in your life? Your spouse? Your children? Or Jesus Christ the Lord? Which is most important to you? Your career? Financial comfort and success, recreational choices, activities, or the success of the kingdom. We see the priority here in Acts chapter 21, in the commitment of the Apostle Paul and the priorities lived out by the Christians in Jerusalem. First, Paul. We have the scene with Paul and the prophet Agabus. And Agabus delivers an ominous warning, a prophecy concerning Paul's trip to Jerusalem. Paul will be bound when he goes to Jerusalem, and he'll be delivered into the hands of the Gentiles. Does that wording sound familiar to you? Delivered into the hands of the Gentiles. Paul would be delivered into the hands of men. Who else was delivered into the hands of men? The Son of God, Jesus Christ, he warned that he would be betrayed and delivered into the hands of men. So we can see the commitment, the foundation of Paul's commitment here. A servant is not greater than his master. If Jesus, our Lord, was delivered to the hands of men for crucifixion and death, Paul, following his Lord, he too would be delivered to suffer and die for the sake of the gospel. Pick up your cross and follow Jesus. Paul lived that out. And this is the call for every Christian. Are you ready to follow your Lord? Are you ready to follow him to whatever he calls you in this life? Whatever he brings before you, are you ready for that? Now, we don't know where he will call us or to what. Maybe it's prosperity. Maybe the Lord is calling us to prosperity. He's going to bless us with success. You will have blessing upon blessing in your life. And the Lord wants you to turn that around and bless others with it. Are you ready for that? don't simply just enjoy the blessings, although that's good, but take those blessings and bless others. Are you ready for that? Maybe the Lord has prepared for you the other side of it, economic hardship. You won't have excess money. You'll have just enough to pay the bills, maybe a little poverty. But the Lord wants you to rely upon Him, trusting in His care. And He sharpens you through your faithfulness in the adversity. Is that what the Lord is calling you to? Maybe He's calling you to rejection. Rejection from others. Personal persecution. Maybe He's calling you to a time or a life of suffering. And that adversity in your life is heat that melts away the dross of sin. The Lord desires for you to grow through your patience and through your faithful submission to suffering. Maybe He's calling you to that. We all have different callings in our service to Jesus. And whatever those callings may be, we have to set our service to that calling as primary. His kingdom's number one. Seek first His kingdom and His righteousness. Everything else in life is added after that. All other priorities, all other concerns are met after we declare Jesus is Lord. Everything else comes after. Jesus is Lord. Let's pause and have the kids come forward for the children's message, please. All right. I've been talking about the kingdom this morning. Jesus said, seek first the kingdom. Who can raise their hand and tell me? You guys are already ready for this one, huh? Raise your hand. You can tell me. What does it mean to seek first the kingdom? Caleb? God first in your life. God first in your life. Okay, so I'm going to ask about the Ten Commandments. Who can raise their hand and tell me what is the first of the ten? Okay, think about the Ten Commandments. What's the first commandment? You shall have no other gods before me. Does that make God number one? Yeah. Okay. Jesus taught us the greatest commandment. Who can raise their hand and tell me what is the greatest commandment? I'll give you a hint. It starts with the word love. Paige? Love God with your heart, mind, strength. Yep, soul. Love the Lord God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. Does that make God number one? All right. So that makes God number one. Now, Jesus said, seek His kingdom. Who can raise their hand and tell us who is king? You all can answer this one. Who is king? Jesus. Very good, Kate. Jesus. Raise your hand if you were going to say Jesus. You'd be right. Okay. Hands down. Now, Jesus said, all the earth is mine and all of heaven is mine. So tell others about Jesus. And that's how we spread His kingdom. Okay? Now, raise your hand if you pray at home. Do you pray at home?
Yeah.
Okay? Yeah. Hands down?
Yeah.
You pray at home? Raise your hand if you pray before you go to bed. Who prays before they go to bed? Okay? Hands down? Raise your hand if you pray before you eat. Okay. Good job. Hands down. Every week in the bulletin, we put this half sheet of paper. And Abby, what does it say right there on my finger? Prayer box. And this is a list of people for whom we can pray. So we have people on here who are sick and they need to be healed. They're hurting. Yeah, maybe they had surgeries. We have a couple moms in here and their babies. And down here at the bottom, we have a list of things we can pray for, like consistory, for those who can't worship with us regularly. Hey guys, sit still. The last one, for the spread of the gospel of the kingdom of God. Gavin comes over here. Sit still, please. I'm going to say that one again. For the spread of the gospel of the kingdom of God. So when you pray, boys and girls, you pray before bed, you pray at the table with your family, can you pray for people who are sick? Can you pray for the pregnant moms and their babies? Can you pray for them?
Yeah.
Yeah. Can you pray? Voices off, please. Can you pray for consistory?
Yep.
Can you pray for those who are poor? Can you pray for the kingdom?
Yep.
Yeah. And another one I can probably add to this is our missionaries. Because our missionaries are around the world and they're helping spread the kingdom. So we can pray for our missionaries. All right? And when you do that, can I see your eyes up here? When you pray for the church and you pray for the kingdom, you will find that in your heart and in your mind, who's going to be number one? Heaven?
God.
And then we will seek first his kingdom when we pray for it. Okay? So let's do that together. Can you sit up? Fold your hands. Close your eyes. And repeat after me. Father in heaven, thank you for your love and sending your Son to die for our sins. Help us, Lord, by your Holy Spirit, to make you first in our life, that we would seek your kingdom and you be glorified. Bless your church and your missionaries as they serve you in the world. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, good job, kids. You can go back to your seats. When we commit ourselves to seeking God first, loving God first, setting the kingdom as first and primary, we will know the difference between kingdom first living, God-centered Christianity, and man-centered religion. God-centered Christianity and man-centered religion. God-centered Christianity is whatever I can do to glorify the Lord, I will do. I will put myself out to honor Jesus. Even if that means going into Jerusalem and to die at the hands of men, I will do it. The Lord's will be done. Jesus is Lord. That's God-centered Christianity. Man-centered religion is God and the world exist to give me joy. God just wants me to be happy, not inconvenienced. And I am the final judge. I get to decide which of this is worth believing and which parts are unacceptable. That's man-centered religion. So when we commit and we center our lives around Jesus and his kingdom, we will view everything through that lens. When we discuss controversial issues in life, we'll consider, what does God's word say about this and that? We make significant life decisions for ourselves, for our family. We'll first consider, how does this affect the kingdom? Are we honoring God with this? And we see this in our sermon text, in our second example, verses 19 and 20. When Paul got to Jerusalem, James and the elders, he greeted them and reported in detail what God had done among the Gentiles through his ministry. When they heard this, they praised God. It sounds pretty simple. Paul says, this is the success I'm having ministering to the Gentiles. And the Jewish Christians, in response to hearing it, praise God. They rejoice and they glorify their Lord. Because Paul's success in ministry was their success. Because they were together. They're part of the church. They're part of God's family. If Paul's having success ministering to Gentiles, we're having success ministering to Gentiles. And ultimately, we rejoice because it's God's success. Paul's success is our success, is God's success. So rejoice. Praise God. People converting is a reason for rejoicing. The church growing is a reason for rejoicing. When we hear of someone converting to the faith, or perhaps repenting after a long period away, we rejoice. Praise God. That's kingdom success. And when the church grows, real biblical growth, not counterfeit growth, real growth, we rejoice that the Lord is adding to His number. And this is the case for a church across the country. This is the case for a church around the world. This is the case for a church down the street. When the Lord adds to His number, we praise God for it. Churches are not opponents in the business of church growth. We are not enemies measured by success in numbers or in dollars, getting this new member or losing that member. What does this have to do with the kingdom? Is God glorified in this? So, for example, at Hamlin, when a missionary comes to visit our church and to give us a report of how ministry is going, we ought to be so kingdom-focused that I want to hear how they're doing. What kind of kingdom success are they having? What struggles can we pray for? How can we help them in their ministry for the kingdom? Now, this will conflict with a worldly view, an individualistic view, a selfish view, where I'm only concerned about me, I'm only concerned about my life, I'm only concerned about what happens here. Often, service for the kingdom is measured in numbers and dollars. Missionaries are graded by how they use their funds and how many people they've added this week or that month. Churches are judged by membership rolls and how much money is in the bank account. Now, are these details important? Yes. We ought to be concerned that we can pay our bills. We ought to be concerned that we're caring for our members. We also ought to want new converts to the faith to join the church. But if we view these details, though important, if we view these details in the wrong priority, we will make unbiblical decisions that do not honor the Lord. Think about the Great Commission. Jesus to His disciples after His resurrection. What was His charge to the disciples? All authority in heaven and earth has been given to me. Therefore, go. Disciple the nations. That was number one. That was primary. The most important job they have was to disciple the nations. Not build up the bank account. Not get huge numbers. Disciple the nations. How do you gauge that? Is a church faithful if you don't look at discipleship growth? Are we kingdom primary focused, where the general fund is the number one concern? Paul, kingdom focused, preach the gospel, make converts, disciple. And he was willing to do that in the face of adversity, the face of persecution, even unto death. All for the kingdom. The will of the Lord be done. The church rejoiced in the success of his ministry to the church and the ministry of the apostles. God's will be done. The kingdom was being extended. The name of Jesus was being exalted. If that is the case, everything falls underneath it. Paul and the apostles traveled the region, preaching the gospel, making disciples for Jesus' sake. God shook the world to bring many people to repentance. Think back a couple chapters in Acts. If you were a Christian living in Corinth, or last week, if you're a Christian living in Ephesus, and you heard about these riots among the pagans, what would give you comfort in that distress? Paul's faithfully preaching the gospel. That's what's causing the riots. Paul's preaching the word, and people are upset. If you're a Christian living in Jerusalem, and you hear your Jewish friends, your Jewish family members complaining about this Paul guy or troublesome Peter causing conflicts, what would make you feel better? They're proclaiming Jesus Christ as Lord, and people are converting to the faith. Kingdom focus. So as we today, as we Christians, as we the church, look around the world, look around this country, we see our nation in turmoil. The secular world is crumbling. What's a positive view of it? What comforts us in that distress? God is building His kingdom. Jesus Christ is Lord of heaven and earth. God will bring something good out of it. Any nation that raises itself up against the kingdom of God either needs to repent or be toppled. Brothers and sisters, the will of the Lord be done to the point of death. God's will be done for the sake of the kingdom. To the glory of His name, His will be done. And may I be an instrument, may you be an instrument in His hands to use however He sees fit. May His will be done in my life, in our church, and the world. Whatever that looks like, seek first His kingdom. So let this be an opportunity this morning to evaluate our priorities, our perspectives. Realign them if necessary. Repent. Are we seeking His kingdom first? Is that the first standard to which I hold everything up? Does this honor God? And if not, let us repent, submit ourselves to His will, and may His will be done. For Jesus' sake, amen. Let us pray.